This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa idh qala Ibrahim Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyil mauta qala awalam tu'min qala bala walakin liyatma'inna qalbi قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. And when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by a front, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Time to go over those headlines again. Israel's military is pushing ahead with its airstrikes on the Gaza Strip, killing and wounding both civilians across the besieged Palestinian territory. Yemen says the U.S. military has carried out new airstrikes against the Arab country, bombing an area near the northern city of Sa'ada. And rallies have been held in several countries across the world in condemnation of the Israeli genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. The Israeli military continues to pound the besieged Gaza Strip, leaving more Palestinian civilians dead and injured. At least three Palestinians were killed in an Israeli drone strike targeting a residential building in Khan Yunus, south of Gaza. In Rafah, also in the south, a Palestinian died of wounds sustained following Israeli shelling. To the north, the regime's artillery strikes on Gaza City's Az-Zaytun neighborhood also left casualties. Death and injuries were also reported following airstrikes on parts of the city of Ash-Shujaya neighborhood. The attacks come as health officials have warned that there is no safe place in Gaza amid relentless Israeli bombings. Over 50,600 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza since the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war began in October 2023. More than 115,000 others have been injured. To get an update on the situation and the latest news in Gaza, let us go to Gaza City and talk to our correspondent, Ghada Ibrahim Azabut. Very good to have you, Ghada. What are the latest news?
Yes. Here in Gaza, the situation remains very tense after nearly 20 days of the Israeli aggressive escalation of the violence. The artillery shells continue to fall on different areas or different parts of eastern and southern of the city of Gaza, on Az-Zaytun neighborhood and on Ash-Shujaya, particularly on Nazaz Street and Al-Mansoura Streets. At least two Palestinian women were killed in the artillery shells falling on these areas. And the situation in particular in Ash-Shujaya is very difficult as the Israeli occupation army expanded the ground offensive. More martyrs are coming to the hospital right now in front of me. So the situation from Ash-Shujaya is very difficult. The ground operation of the Israeli army continues to expand. The army advances. The Israeli tanks also advance in the eastern parts of Ash-Shujaya. Also, this morning, the Israeli war planes committed a massacre in Khan Yunis city that killed three Palestinian workers who were working in a community kitchen, actually, in Khan Yunis. They were targeted by an Israeli airstrike, and they were killed while working in a community kitchen. The city of Rafah has been totally isolated from the Gaza Strip as the Israeli occupation army announced full control over the city. This morning as well, as we talked yesterday about the Israeli targeting of the only desalination water plant in At-Tufah neighborhood. This morning, the Israeli warplanes targeted the lines that the water lines that have been that were between the At-Tufah and Ash-Shujaya, which means that they are intentionally trying to prevent any source of water from the whole area of At-Tufah and the whole area actually of Ash-Shujaya neighborhoods. So here in now I am in Al-Ma'madani Hospital. More injuries continue to be rushed to this hospital. These are from the artillery shells falling on Ash-Shujaya and on the Az-Zaytun neighborhoods. The situation, as you may notice, is very difficult. People here are trying to survive. However, with no available means actually of survival. Now we are in the day 36 of the Israeli full ban of entry of all goods, medical supplies, and and fuel, the situation gets more deteriorated as time passes, as the hospitals actually being burdened and overwhelmed by the injuries coming from time to time to this hospital. So after the Israeli occupation announced full ban of the entry of all food and medical supplies, people here, or the hospital here, announced yesterday that they cannot deal with the sheer volume of the casualties and the injuries that are overwhelming the hospital's capabilities.
I want you to tell me a little bit about this humanitarian blockade. How are the children most affected by it, like the elderly and the children?
Yes. Actually, what is more difficult than this is the continuous Israeli airstrikes that are particularly targeting the children here in Gaza. Most of the casualties from the massacres, the At-Tufah massacre, Shija'iyah massacre, were children. 80% of the casualties were children, whether in the injuries or in the murders. The main target of the Israeli occupation army is to kill more children, which is very, very easy for them, and more, it can be justified very easily. They don't have any problem with targeting the children here in Gaza. Nowadays, as the blockade persists, actually the situation for the children becomes more deteriorated, as these are the most vulnerable groups of people here in the Palestinian community. Malnutrition, diseases, and actually no healthy food, no water. Everything is very hard to get nowadays in Gaza, particularly for those vulnerable groups of people, the children, the newborns, the infants, the pregnant women, and the elderly people as well. So the prices here, as the blockade persists, the prices soars and rise very, very, very notably. So you cannot get the things or the stuff from the local markets very easy. So everything is very expensive. Even if even when you find anything to buy, you cannot actually afford the high prices nowadays.
Right, thank you so much, Ghada, for the update. That was Ghada Ibrahim, our correspondent in Gaza City. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees has described as harrowing the new figures that show at least 100 children are killed or injured in Gaza every single day. In a social media post, UNRWA chief Felipe Lazzarini said the killings are a stain on the human community, calling the killing justifiable. Lazzarini urged renewed efforts to protect Gaza's youngest civilians. He was citing the figures published by UNICEF. The UN agency said 322 Palestinian children have been killed and 609 injured since Israel resumed its onslaught on Gaza since March 18th. The regime has killed over 15,000 children and injured more than 34,000 others since the beginning of Gaza genocide in October 2023. At least a dozen missiles hit a school in Gaza City where many Palestinians had taken shelter. The strikes killed at least 33 Palestinians, many of them women and children. Eyewitnesses say ambulances and medical crew were denied entry to the area where the massacre occurred. Our correspondent Ghada Ibrahim reports.
Here I am in Dar al-Arqam sheltering school. From the place of the very horrible massacre, the Israeli war planes committed against the Palestinian civilians who were taking this place as a sheltering school. The Israeli missiles, 12 missiles, hit the building of the school, killed at least 33 Palestinians, many of them are children, women, and civilians, and wounded over 100 of the people who were taking this place as a shelter and who thought they are very safe in this place. In just a few hours, the Israeli occupation aggressively bombed the three sheltering schools with almost 12 American-made missiles. As people describe what happened here as an akin to an earthquake, the smoke is still rising from one of the buildings, and people are still looking and searching for the remains of their beloved ones and for what remains of their belongings. Here we are in front of one of the witnesses who saw the explosion and was in the place of the massacre.
I live here near. Suddenly, a huge explosion happened. I rushed to the place to find the bodies of the martyrs scattered across the vicinity of the school, and many of them were children. The ambulance were banned from entering the area, and they were threatened by the occupation army. After the first attack, they returned and carried out another attack. Many martyrs are still buried until now under the rubble of the building, and there are no available means of extracting them out.
Along with my husband and one-year-old child, we're preparing bread to eat, but suddenly we got buried under the rubble by the horrible explosion. We were pulled out by a miracle. This is unbelievable and should not be acceptable by the people of the world. We are dying here. The children were torn apart with no fault but being Palestinian in our own land.
With very long record of crimes, this crime is not the first and it is not surely the last. But what boldens this aggressive Israeli occupation army is the international silence towards these atrocities. Ghada Ibrahim, Gaza City.
Pro-Palestine rallies have been held in several countries across the world on Friday in condemnation of Israel's genocide in the besieged territory.
The U.S. Embassy and the Americans are partners of a Zionist entity. Here they are. Here is Trump with everything he says to the entire world. He is a danger to the world, a danger to the nation, a danger to the laws of justice, a danger to humanity. The entire West has been exposed, and the free world must stand up to expose these practices and stand with the oppressed. The message of the Jordanian youth and the message of the popular forces is clearly and specifically titled, America is the serious, real, and main partner with the Zionist gangs in the war of extermination, starvation, and displacement.
Jordanians took to the streets of the capital Amman, waving Palestinian flags and chanting anti-Israeli slogans. They condemned what they called U.S.'s unconditional support for Israel amid the regime's massacres in Gaza. People in Algeria also marched through the streets holding up banners and flags to voice their support for Gaza. They called for an immediate end to the Israeli crimes against the Palestinians. Similar protests were also held in Morocco, Libya, Lebanon, and Japan. Following the latest Israeli airstrikes on Syria that killed 9 people and destroyed military infrastructure, Palestinians and Syrians took to the streets of Yarmouk camp after Friday prayers. Protesters condemned Israel's aggression in both Gaza and Dara, voicing their unwavering support for armed resistance against the occupation.
In a powerful show of unity, Syrians and Palestinians, who have endured decades of Israeli aggression, gathered today in Yarmouk camp to condemn Israel's recent incursion into Jbeilaya in Dar countryside, where local resistance forces ambushed advancing Israeli troops, forcing them to retreat before Israel launched deadly airstrikes.
We are here to denounce the ongoing massacres in Gaza and the Israeli incursion in Dara. The people resisted bravely, sacrificing martyrs in the fight against occupation. We stand with them and will never accept Israeli control over our land.
As Israeli airstrikes on Syria escalate, the response from the international community remains absent. In Dara, however, the people have taken matters into their own hands. The popular resistance in southern Syria has proven that armed struggle remains the only way to confront Israeli expansion.
We stand with our brothers in Dara, just as we stand with Gaza. Resistance will never be defeated. Just as Gaza's fighters remain strong, so too will the resistance in Syria. Syrians and Palestinians are united, and together we will defeat Israeli occupation.
Beyond the battlefield, many protesters also blamed Arab regimes for their complicity in Israel's crimes. Calls for accountability rang out against Arab leaders, accusing them of betraying the Palestinian cause and enabling Israeli aggression in the region.
The Israeli occupation will fall. It's only a matter of time, but those who betrayed Gaza and Dara like Jordan, Egypt, the UAE, and others must be held accountable. Their complicity is a crime, and no matter what they do, the people will triumph.
With every act of Israeli aggression, the spirit of resistance grows stronger. Today's protests in Damascus and other Syrian cities are yet another testament to the unwavering determination of Syrians and Palestinians to defeat Israel. Ali Mohammed, Damascus.
Welcome back. Israeli forces have intensified their violent operations in the occupied West Bank, deploying large numbers of troops. Regime forces have also abducted several Palestinians across the territory. We were earlier joined by our correspondent Naka Hamad for more details on the story.
Well, the situation, as you have described it in the West Bank, the situation remained extremely intensive. The aggression, the IOF aggression, is pushing ahead towards most of the Palestinian cities. In the last 24 hours, the Palestinians have bidded farewell to two Palestinians, one 17 years old boy, Youssef Bakr Zaghloul, in the area of Hussein to the south of Beit Lahem. The other is the Palestinian prisoner Hussein Hardan, 40 years old Palestinian, who had been killed, assassinated by the IOF forces in the area, of course, in the area of Jenin, where the IOF has pursued him and assassinated him. The situation on the ground remained that most of the Palestinian cities are under siege. The major Palestinian cities are closed. The entrances and exits are closed. The situation in the north of the northern part of the West Bank remains the same incursions, the same demolishment, the same arrests, same operations under the name of the military operation, the Iron Wall.
And that is a wrap for this hour's World News. Thank you so much for staying with us.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all. From the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. to let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O, the most merciful.
Nearly 40,000 Palestinians have been forcibly displaced throughout the Zionist regime's ongoing military assault in the West Bank, with only 3,000 Palestinians returned to their homes. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "We are witnessing new trails of tears in the West Bank mirroring Gaza's fate." These were the words of Francisca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur on the occupied West Bank and Gaza recently. She was referencing the forced expulsion between 1830 and 1850 by the United States government of tens of thousands of indigenous people from their homeland east of the Mississippi toward what became Oklahoma, leading to the deaths of thousands. What Israel is doing in occupied Palestine today has a strong echoes of 1947 to 1949 Nakba and the 1967 Naxa, Albanese said, referring to the two major ethnic cleansing campaigns carried out by Zionist militias and the Israeli regime army that produced hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees. Nearly 40,000 Palestinians have been forcibly displaced throughout Israel's ongoing military assault in the West Bank, with only 3,000 Palestinians returned to their homes. The Zionist regime's war minister Israel Katz last month indicated that this displacement would be permanent as the Israeli regime army makes preparations for a long occupation of the northern refugee camps as the military assault nearly enters its third month. Albanese warned that a mass ethnic cleansing campaign is underway, as the Zionist regime uses the fog of war to advance its long-standing objective of seizing Palestinian land. She said, "The world, meanwhile, is pretending not to see history repeating itself." Albanese's statement was issued on the same day as a report by the United Nations Human Rights Office detailing Israel's advancement of settlements in the West Bank between November 2023 and October 2024 and the illegal transfer of Jewish Israelis there. The report stated that Israel's maintenance and expansion of settlements amount to annexation of large parts of the West Bank. The Israeli regime government allocated $200 million to settlement projects from its budget in 2024 including for constructing roads between settlements, funding outposts, or backing so-called security for settlements and outposts. These acts amount to transfer by Israel of its population to occupied Palestinian territory. The transfer by Israel of parts of its own civilian population into the territory it occupies amounts to a war crime, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, said. More than 10,000 housing units were advanced or approved in existing settlements in Area C over the reporting period. Area C is the 60% of the West Bank under full Israeli regime military control, according to the Oslo Accords of 1990s. But in reality, the Zionist regime military controls the whole of the West Bank and has been conducting raids in the smaller areas where the Palestinian Authority has nominal control. By the end of October 2024, there were nearly 740,000 Israeli settlers in the West Bank, including East Al-Quds. All of Israel's settlements in the West Bank and Syria's Golan Heights are illegal under international law and are considered a war crime. In July 2024, the International Court of Justice ruled that Israel's presence in the West Bank is illegal and must end. Francesca Albanese said Israel's conduct aiming to ethnically cleanse the land between the river to the sea amounts to a genocidal campaign to erase Palestinians as a people. The climate of revenge has prevailed in the West Bank since October 7, 2023. Settler violence has skyrocketed, leading to the forcible displacement of Palestinians from herding communities. The UN report states the line between settler and state violence blurred to a vanishing point, further enabling an increase in violence and impunity. Palestinian victims of violence increasingly refer to settler soldiers when recounting incidents to OHCHR, the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. The monthly average of settler violence in 2024 was 118 incidents. This was an increase from the 108 average of 2023, which was a year in which settler violence had already reached unprecedented levels. Nearly 1,300 incidents resulted in casualties or property damage that year. That was a 51% increase in the number of incidents during 2022, and more than a twofold increase on the number of incidents during 2021. Meanwhile, as the Zionist regime pounded Gaza recently, killing hundreds of Palestinians, the Israeli regime military assault on the West Bank's refugee camps continued unabated. This has been the worst military assault on the West Bank since the Second Intifada nearly two decades ago. Nearly 70 Palestinians have been killed since January. The Israeli regime army uprooted around 85% of the streets of Jenin refugee camp in the north, the municipality's director, Mahmoud Asaf, said. One quarter of the refugee camp's population has been forcibly displaced, the city's mayor said in a statement. Throughout January and February, the World Health Organization recorded more than 60 attacks on the healthcare across the West Bank, the vast majority in the northern area, where the Israeli regime has focused its attack.
the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM, 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Welcome to the Israel Watch. Hebrew media focused on the aggression against Gaza in light of Netanyahu's proposal for a captive exchange deal and the plan by Netanyahu's administration to displace Gaza's residents as well as internal Israeli divisions. We discuss these topics with Dr. Omar Nashabi, political analyst. Hello and welcome, Dr. Omar, to this episode. Hebrew media analyzed Netanyahu's proposal, and some commentators doubted that Hamas would accept it, despite its openness to the Egyptian initiative. Dr. Omar, where is Netanyahu taking things? In your own opinion, do you think he would derail any kind of negotiation, despite Hamas's openness to the Egyptian proposal, to the latest Egyptian proposal?
I mean, every day, more than the day before, it's very clear that the plan is to do a genocide in Gaza.
Yes.
And the objective of the genocide is to kill everybody. I mean, this is what a genocide is defined. It's defined as killing all the population that's there and depriving the Palestinians from livelihood in this part of the world. He wants to take control of Gaza without its population. Now, this is what he wants. Now, how does he get there? He gets there by lying and by trying to deceive the whole world by saying that he is into the agreement, which has two phases. We finished the first phase. He didn't start the second phase. He wants to delay it. He wants to find any twisted arguments to actually come up with some ideas.
Now, excuses.
Yes, excuses, definitely. And he wants to try to continue the bombing and expand the bombing, especially during Eid.
Yes.
We have this is a holy month of Ramadan. This is a time when people, it's the holiest time in Islam for all Muslims. Children are, trying to celebrate Ramadan, and they're being slaughtered and killed with the clothes of the Eid. This is tragic. I mean, he is targeting ambulances, trying to show more aggression, more violence.
That reflects what you're highlighting, that this is a genocide and a complete genocide, and that's how a genocide looks like. The Israeli commentator in the report, Dr. Omar, believes that the second phase of the agreement remains a sticking point for Netanyahu's administration. Do you think that without the second phase, this agreement will not be moving forward.
Definitely. Well, there was an agreement and they agreed to it, and they are supposed to be guarantees for the agreement, which are the United States and, you know, and the Qatar and Egypt, which is, you know, and they're supposed to pressure the Israelis so that we can start phase two in the negotiations. This is what Hamas wants. This is what Hamas announced. Now, the commentator said that, you know, the Hamas has been showing like this kind of pacifist approach towards the Egyptian
yes.
initiative. Well, the Hamas has always been very, you know, positive about anything that comes from the Egyptians, because they hold on to remaining on good terms with the Egyptians, with the Qataris, so that the negotiations can continue in the future. That doesn't mean, however,
but
that Hamas
will comply. But the Israelis are saying, or the cabinet, or Netanyahu's cabinet is always highlighting and saying that the Hamas are the one that are keeping obstacles in the way of this agreement.
Well, that's a complete illusion. In fact, Hamas from the beginning, even before these negotiations started, Hamas was ready to have a full comprehensive exchange of all the prisoners of war, you know, from day one. That is in 2023. I mean, like, this is like almost 2 years ago. And Hamas never changed its position. Its position is
yes.
very clear. It's ready to negotiate and to exchange. However, no one would expect Hamas or anyone else to commit suicide by accepting terms that will lead to its annihilation.
Okay.
That's not possible.
Do we stay in Gaza, where criticism within Israel is escalating against Netanyahu's administration for breaking the ceasefire agreement, as we are highlighting, in both Gaza and Lebanon? A former Knesset member held Netanyahu fully responsible for what she called the return of fighting in Gaza and Lebanon. Dr. Amar, we want to actually understand why all this is happening. A major question is asked. Domestic political calculations, the Israelis in Israel, is this what is banning, or this is what is not allowing Netanyahu to come to a straight decision here and just escalating in all sides?
I think within the Israeli entities population, there are some divisions. The Netanyahu camp believes in violent deterrent techniques. He believes that more blood, more killing, more destruction, you know, will lead to positive results. That he wants to pressure Hamas, pressure the whole world, saying that Israel can kill anyone, can burn, can do a genocide. Nobody's gonna do anything about
this.
And you'll have to.
He still believes that after all what happened?
I think he still believes that. And I think many Israelis still believe that. So what the problem is, and this member of Knesset
yes.
and this Israeli person
mm-hmm.
has the other perspective, the perspective that, no, when we do a peace, talks with the adversaries or
yes.
the enemies of Israel, when we reach an agreement for ceasefire, this ceasefire agreement must be respected.
Okay.
Clearly, the Netanyahu cabinet and the Netanyahu administration is not respecting any agreement. This will make the Israeli entity lose what's left of its credibility in the international community also. And it will show that the Israelis are liars, simply. Mm-hmm. They just want to continue with the bloodshed, with the genocide. They want to continue slaughtering innocent people, innocent civilians, everywhere in southern Lebanon and in Yemen mm-hmm. also,
okay.
and in Gaza and the West Bank.
Okay.
And this is ongoing. This is what the Israelis, the Israelis
because
more than ever.
Because they do have a green light from the United States.
Yes, but they're showing
forward,
more than ever.
Ahmad.
They're showing the whole world
mm-hmm.
more than ever that
okay.
they survive based on bloodshed. They survive based on killing other people. No nation or no entity in the world can exist that is founded on the killing of others.
And I think that became obvious to most people. And now, dear viewers, to the plan to displace Gaza's residents, which Netanyahu's administration has put in place and is being heavily promoted in Hebrew media, alongside claims that a large number of Gaza residents want to leave, as we will see.
יש יציאה מעזה בדרכים שונות, גם בנושא הזה וגם בנושא של ההפגנות, יש לי תחינה חרישית שמישהו בישראל סוף סוף יסתום את הפה. פשוט ניתן לדברים להיות, לעשות את שלהם, בלי יותר מדי יחץ ובלי, זה לתת לתהליכים להיות בלי השפעה ישראלית. יש רצון גדול לצאת מעזה, סקר שפורסם בעיתון הבריטי טלגרף, על ידי מכון גלופ, אומר שמחצית מהאוכלוסייה רוצה לצאת, בין אם באופן זמני או קבוע, עכשיו אפשר לנחש שהמספרים האמיתיים יותר גבוהים, אנשים לא כל כך רוצים לשתף פעולה, הם לא יודעים מי בצד השני של הטלפון, או במקרה הזה של הטלפון החכם.
וגם יש דעת קהל עולמית שרואה בזה צעד מאוד בעייתי, ומדברים במונחים של טרנספר.
תלוי באיזה צעד. אם זה הגירת עבודה, לא תראי אף אחד בעולם שיוצא נגד זה. אם מדובר בבעלי דרכונים זרים למשל, סתם נסבר את האוזן, מתוך 1,700,000 עזתים, 200 עד 250 אלף הם או בני משפחותיהם בעלי דרכונים זרים. כל האנשים האלה יכולים לצאת בלי שמישהו יצייץ. עכשיו, אני אגיד לך מה ההבדל בין ההשקפה הזאת לבין ההשקפה של טראמפ. טראמפ, לכאורה, עד שלא יוצא העזתי האחרון, לא ישיג כלום. בעיניי, אם 250 אלף, 300 אלף עזתים עוזבים, תקראי לזה עבודה, תקראי לזה דרכונים זרים, תקראי לזה ייאוש או טיפול רפואי, זה הישג אדיר, okay. זאת נקבה שנייה מבחינתם, וזה האיתות. אתם רציתם שבערי וניר עוז וכפר עזה יעזבו, בסוף ג'באליה ושג'אייה וחאן יונס הזה.
What is the occupation's goal in promoting the migration of Palestinians from Gaza?
Well, that has been their objective since 1948. I mean, since before 1948. This is a Zionist project, is to push people out of their land. Now, this man is justifying mass crime. He's justifying genocide. He's justifying displacement. He's not recognizing the basic rights to their own land, the basic rights to people for self-determination, which is an international law. Mm-hmm. He's saying that 250,000 of the Palestinians have foreign passports. Is that what he's saying? Mm-hmm. There are 5 million Israelis. They are all Europeans from Ukraine and from Poland and from the United States and from France and from Morocco and Yemen and other countries. And he's saying that out of the inhabitants of Gaza, there are 250,000.
Okay, and you're an expert on criminal justice. What is the legal perspective from this, Dr. Omar?
Well, this is an international crime. It's very clear. I mean, Gaza is part of the state of Palestine that is recognized in the United Nations as an entity. These people have the right to self-determination. They have the right to exist as a people. I mean, this is really flagrant.
Do you think that that's obvious now to the world, that the Israelis do not perceive the Palestinians as people that have the rights that you're highlighting?
Well, not just the Israelis.
The legal rights.
Well, not just the Israelis and everyone who supports the Israelis in that sense, and some of the Arabs who support the Israelis as well. I mean, there's no respect for human dignity for these people in Gaza. They just think that slaughtering them and kicking them out of their homes and killing their children on Eid is a right for the Israelis and those who support them. I mean, the problem is not just with the Israelis.
So the resumption of killings and genocide is for that perspective, in your opinion, to push towards migration, in your opinion.
Exactly, and that's not just the problem of the Israelis. That's the problem of those who support them. That's the problem of the Arab and Islamic world that is watching this and doing nothing about it.
Israeli social media are well engaged with the media campaign to displace Gaza residents. Here are some comments from the Zionist activists.
Dor Henet Sahon. They want to leave, so let them leave. An immigration directorate has been established in Israel. The president of the world's greatest power, Trump, supports us. Norwit Yohanan. The amount of fantasy involved in the idea of migration from Gaza is unbelievable. Egypt has denied twice in half a week that it has agreed to migration or to receiving 2 million people from Gaza in Sinai. Amit Malmad. The only way to stop this vicious cycle is to refuse the return of war to Gaza. We've already tried everything. Reject the killing of captive soldiers and the residents of Gaza.
Dr. Omar, what grabbed your attention in these comments that we just heard together?
Well, these comments, I mean, what grabbed my attention is that they focus on something that they call migration of Palestinians from Gaza. It's not about migration. There's a kind of it's a big lie. This is forced displacement. This is ethnic cleansing. This is.
But they said that they agreed that Egypt refuses this migration. Some of the writers.
Yeah,
actually.
But even using the term migration is what caught my attention. And of course, the Egyptians are going to refuse it in public. I mean, we don't know what's happening.
They will agree under the table.
I'm not sure. Well, let's see what they're doing, because, you know,
for what benefit?
Well, in the past, Egypt has shown a lot of, you know, setback in the negotiations, has shown a lot of, you know, a fear that they will lose the American support. They, you know, you have to remember that Egypt has like billions of dollars of debt, and they are having really serious economic problems, and their economic problems started to amplify after they signed the peace talks with the Israelis in Camp David, in fact. You know, but this is how the Israelis function, the Americans. They put these countries
under pressure,
under immense pressure, so that they cannot.
But they declared to the public, whether the Jordanian or the Egyptians, that they refuse the plan that Trump actually highlighted.
Well, all the Arab leaders declared in public that they support the Palestinian people. I mean, I haven't heard any Arab country saying things that are, you know, that are similar to the actions of supporting the Israelis, or just not doing anything about it when they're committing a genocide for for almost 2 years now. This is a genocide. It's the most dangerous of any crime, and it should be rejected. If it's not rejected, well, there's a collapse of the world order. We are witnessing a collapse in the world
order. But Saudi Arabia is calling for a two-state solution, and that's the mission that they're working upon.
Well, it's not enough. These are just words. We need some action. What two-state solution? I mean, what kind of, we need a viable state, a Palestinian viable state. The solution for Palestine is outlined in Imam Ali Khamenei's book, Qadiyat Palestine, very clearly. I mean, there is, I mean, I invite everyone to read that solution.
Okay.
It could be a logical solution, where it could be a baseline to start negotiations if anyone is serious about finding solutions for the Palestinian people.
Okay. Well, total victory, a false term Netanyahu has used dozens of times since the beginning of the war of extermination in Gaza. He continues to use it despite failing to achieve it. A military analyst in Hebrew media examined cases where Netanyahu invoked this term. What is the significance of Hebrew media reminding constantly people of Netanyahu's statements? Absolute victory, total victory.
Well, because the war is ongoing. I mean, the slaughtering is ongoing. What absolute victory? What absolute victory for the Israeli entity when Israel today, creates more threats to the Jewish people all around the world?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Jewish people, you know, wanted to have a state, the state of Israel, so that they can have more security. Now they have less security,
yes.
One. The second thing is that the Palestinian cause wasn't very well known to the whole world before 2023. Today, everybody recognizes the Palestinian flag and the right for the Palestinian people to have their own nation. Palestine is known all over the world more than ever.
And how will these factors affect the Israelis?
Well, of course it will affect.
Because on their hand, they keep on highlighting, or Netanyahu's keep on highlighting, that we will achieve absolute victory and total victory.
I mean, they're committing the biggest
contradiction. They're not aware of all the deficiencies?
They're committing the biggest contradiction ever. You see, the Israeli people have been saying that they are the victims of the Holocaust, they're victims of the brutality of the
calling
Europeans.
For anti-Semitism.
And what they're doing now, is they're doing the exact same thing. You know, they're committing all the crimes that they said that they were victims of these crimes. Now, and they're violating all international law. They're committing genocide all over the world. Everyone can see the pictures. Everyone can see the images. All the arguments to justify this genocide are not strong enough. They're not convincing for the whole world, especially when the slaughtering is ongoing, when they see pictures of kids being slaughtered. I mean, they're trying to prove to the whole world that the Jewish people are the chosen people and they are superior to all other people and they have the right to life, whereas the Palestinians, where they have the right to eliminate life and eliminate Palestine, eliminate the right of the Palestinian people to exist.
Yes, massacre them or push for migration, as you were highlighting.
The whole
world is seeing. And now to the internal divisions and disputes within Israel, which intensified after the dismissal of the Shin Bet chief and the cabinet's legal advisor. The divisions deepened with protests and demonstrations in the streets, which, despite their momentum, are unlikely to push Netanyahu to change his policies. Dr. Amar, do you really think that all these disputes that we're seeing now in Israel, divisions and protests that we have never actually, remarkable ones, never seen in Israel before, will actually affect Netanyahu's decision?
I don't think it will affect him. However, I think they are very important. It's very important to look at the core of the disputes within the Israelis themselves. And that dispute started before the genocide started in Gaza.
Mm-hmm. From the families of the captives?
No, before that.
Okay.
It was a problem over judicial overhaul. And, there was a debate among the Israelis, should we have a state where the law takes precedence or where political interests take precedence? And that is the actual battle. They should realize that the actual Israeli entity cannot exist based on law, cannot exist based on legal premises. This is not a debate. These are criminals. The entity is a criminal entity. They're trying to create a court and a prosecutor and things like that. This debate is at the core of the existence of the entity of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Because this entity cannot exist based on a legal status, you see? So when he removes the chief of the Shin Bet and he decides to replace him with another guy.
And ignore the massive demonstrations and
ignore the massive demonstration, ignore the prosecutor that he calls the prosecutor of the Zionist entity. Try to behave in a way where Netanyahu is trying to tell his people that, you know, Israel can only exist based on bloodshed and genocide. We have to kill other people to exist.
Okay.
We have to slaughter them. We have to violate international law to exist. And it is what he's saying to them. He's saying it is our right as a chosen people, as a Jewish people, as Zionists to do this. And no one can actually object to that.
Okay.
And the other Israelis are having this illusion and telling him, no, we can have, you know, Israel has the right to exist because it is based on some, you know, on the right for the Jewish people to defend themselves, to have a land for themselves after they've been, they suffered from the Nazi Holocaust.
Okay.
That is completely baseless. And I think what Netanyahu is saying looks more like what the identity of this Zionist entity is all about.
Well, Israeli social media was filled with comments on the dismissal of the Shin Bet chief and Ben-Gvir's demand to imprison him. Here are some of those comments.
Ezer Abar: the number one suspect is Ronen Bar, the head of the Shin Bet. He should be prosecuted, not just resign. Moz Vos: the prime minister of corruption is in charge. The prime minister of liars is in charge. The prime minister of cowards is in charge. The people want you gone. You are the primary suspect in what happened on October 7. You blame others and even lie persistently when you accuse the head of the Shin Bet, who achieved remarkable successes, of being a spy. Oren Hellman: does Ben-Gvir really represent who the people of Israel want to control the police? Is this really someone the people of Israel believe should be allowed to attack the head of the Shin Bet? Is this person who has the right to say that the head of the Shin Bet should be put in a prison cell? Do you understand what will happen to our country because of this administration?
What's your opinion on these divided reactions, Dr. Omar, as it's obvious, concerning the dismissal of Ronen Bar?
Yeah, I believe there are these differences and these divisions within the Israeli entity's population. However, I think these are not very serious divisions. You know, the Israelis, they all agree, I think, deep inside, that they need to get rid of the Palestinians. What does getting rid of the Palestinians mean? It means genocide, extermination.
The majority, Dr. Omar?
All of them. I would say you cannot live in an entity that that encourages and performs a genocide. You cannot do that. If you remain there, even if you express yourself like the way they're having these divisions, these are just, you know, disagreements, general disagreements. There haven't been any serious clashes within the Israeli community itself. We're waiting for that, though.
Dr. Omar Nashabi, political analyst, thank you for joining us. It's always nice having you on our show.
Thank you.
Time is up. Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house, many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up, we must unlock them all today, throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ali baytihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin. Brothers, sisters, listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Mafatihul Hayat, Keys of Life. I am your host, Abdullah Al-Musawi. We were discussing scholars and specifically their effect on society. When it comes to these scholars, beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having prepared punishment for them, me and you, we have to be aware of them, especially in today's world. When We live in Western countries. We have scholars in these Western countries. We have those who represent the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt, the school of thought of the Sunnis, whatever. These systems, this is a fact that needs to be understood and grasped. These systems that we live under in the West, the Western system, the Western ideology, it's a kafir system, is a non-believing system, which is based on the denial of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One. Two, these systems' main objectives is to fight the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fight Islam and Muslims. And this is a fact that no one can deny, that America and its allies, their main objective is to fight Muslims and Islam and kill as much of them as possible, or at least change and wipe out their ideology as much as possible. Now, here is a problem. The scholars that live in the West, that attend the masajid, that preach and teach to people and pray and lead processions and what have you, when these ones, these so-called scholars, when they go and side with governments and they shake hand with kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers and council members and member of states and statesmen and congressmen, then we have a problem. Because if that scholar himself goes to these people and tries to give us this hunky-dory Islam, this roses and rainbows Islam, then obviously we have a problem. When we shake hands with the devil, we have a problem. In the White House, we have a problem. When I see the scholar shaking hands and trying to support and rally support for a candidate for the United States elections, then I have a problem. When I have a scholar walking in the palace and shaking hands with the King of England, then we have a problem. And obviously the list goes on and goes on. So these people, when they do these actions, they try to convince their followers and the people that Islam is a religion of peace and love, and therefore we have no issues with these systems. Now, this is what corruption looks like in its true form. Let me take a break, and then we'll come back together.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatih al-Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. So we said that when the scholars walk in
into the palaces and castles and houses or whatever they want to call them these days, parliaments of the elite politicians and people in power, then we have to fear for our faith from these people. A hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, mal'oonun mal'oon, cursed, cursed. Alimun ya'ummu sultanan ja'ira, a scholar who goes to an oppressor and sides with him. Mu'inan lahu ala jawrah, when he sides with him, what these scholars are doing is that they are justifying their oppression. So when we have scholars in the United States who are walking to the White House, shaking hands with the kings and whatever, we have a problem. They are supporting them in their genocide, in their oppression. When we have scholars walking and shaking hands with the King of England, they are supporting their oppression and genocide towards Muslims. Who is massacred and killed hundreds of thousands of innocent children, men and women, in Gaza and Palestine in this year and last year? Wasn't it the Americans? Wasn't it Europe? Wasn't it England? And their undivided attention and undivided support to Israel? Who was supporting Israel? If it was